This past Thursday, as you know, we as a nation celebrated one of, I think, personally, one of America's greatest holidays. And that's the day that we call Thanksgiving. All the way back in 1623, on November 29th, Governor William Bradford, who was the first governor of the American colonies, made an official proclamation, and this was to render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. Our first president, George Washington, proclaimed on Thursday, November 26, 1789, to be a national day of thanksgiving. He said, this is George Washington, this is a quote, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly thank him for his protection and favor." This was an official proclamation from the President of the United States. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln, just giving you a couple highlights, proclaimed and Congress passed an act designating an annual National Day of Thanksgiving. President Lincoln said, "I do invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. It is announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and with one voice by the whole American people." That was Abraham Lincoln. Every president since has publicly acknowledged and thanked God for his protection and blessings upon our nation, except our current president, who for 4 years in a row has refused to acknowledge God and give him thanks. And in fact, when he cites the, when he starts to read, "We are endowed by our Creator," he always skips that part of our Constitution even. Just a major difference in the way some things are going in our country. If we don't give thanks to God, then it makes me wonder, because he had a national Thanksgiving Day address to the nation, and it's not just him. There is a whole class of people out there. And I wonder, what are they celebrating? Who are they giving thanks to? Why do we even celebrate Thanksgiving? Our politically correct politicians and our academic elite are busy rewriting history and reshaping society so that God is not mentioned. Are they thankful to the government? Are they thankful to liberalism, to Mother Earth? Who are they thankful to? You see, there's a lot of people that don't want to acknowledge God, because if they acknowledge God and they thank God, that means they have to, in a sense, humble themselves, admit that God is real, and set themselves up to be judged by God's word. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to have to stand before God on Judgment Day. But do you think that just because they pretend there's no God, that's going to change that? It won't. We know the truth. The truth is in the Word of God. And it is God Himself, our Creator, the giver of every good gift, that we are and that we must be thankful to. One day a year is nowhere near enough time to give thanks to our God. I think it's great that there is a day. I really do. Like I said, Thanksgiving is actually my favorite holiday, because it's the day itself is probably the least commercialized and politicized. But God has called us to be a thankful people, thankful in all circumstances. He's called us to recognize Him as our Creator, our Provider, our Protector, our Sustainer, our Hope, our Salvation, and much more. And if we took the time, we could literally spend days And I mean it. We could spend days thanking God for the many things that he has done that so often we take for granted. We need to learn how to be more thankful. If we can learn to cultivate a thankful heart, a sincere thankful heart, sincerely thankful heart, our ability to enjoy life is going to increase exponentially. It's going to be a dramatic, a huge increase of enjoyment when we learn to be thankful. According to God's word, having a thankful heart is more important than any of us have probably ever really recognized or thought about. And to not be thankful is more dangerous than you could have ever imagined. And I'm going to talk about that. Romans 1:20 through 25 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised." So I want to explain a little bit about what that's saying there. What it's telling us is that when someone who has been created by God is living in and enjoying God's creation and sees all the beauty of God's creation around him and the majesty and the glory of the heavens and the skies and the beautiful sunsets and the intricate woven pattern of life and the beauty of just the tree and the leaves and walking through the forest, and we see all this stuff. And if that person refuses then to recognize or acknowledge the obvious signs of God's existence, and if they refuse to give God any credit or any glory for all that he has done, something very dangerous begins to happen. Their ability to reason, to think soundly and intelligently, becomes futile. What does futile mean? It means useless. It means frivolous. It means ineffective and worthless. Their ability to reason and think soundly becomes useless, frivolous, ineffective, and worthless. I don't know about you, but I want my mind to have some meaning. I want my ability to think to be able to have some kind of foundation, some kind of understanding, some kind of meaning. I don't want my thinking and my reasoning to be useless, worthless, ineffective. Why does that happen to those who reject God? Because they have eliminated the foundational truth of God that supports all wisdom. All truth, all knowledge, all wisdom is founded upon God. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he says. God's word tells us the foolish hearts are darkened. They claim to be wise, but become ever more foolish. And they begin to exchange the glory of God for idols. Idols like science, idols like evolution, idols like animal worship or materialism or liberalism, humanism, communism, whatever it might be. They become the idols. They worship those things. Abortion is an idol. They have their high priest, the abortionist. They have their altars, the abortion table. They have their churches, the abortion clinics. It's a religion to them. Their whole doctrine of the Democratic Party is based upon abortion. Read their planks. You'll find out. They begin to see good as evil and evil as good. And pretty soon, because they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, they begin to worship then and serve these very idols. And in fact, become slaves to those very things, those very ways, that become slaves to, you know, like environmentalism and the radical environmental. There's nothing wrong with protecting the environment. But when you get so radical about it that you take it to the extreme, it becomes like an idol. It becomes a god. People end up serving that. And then in Romans 1:26, it goes a little further and it says, because of this, because of what we just talked about, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. Now is it not only futile, but now the mind becomes depraved. To do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanders, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, invent ways of doing evil. They disobey parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. All this comes about, this is a result of thinking that refuses to recognize God and be thankful to God. That's what the Word of God teaches us. To recognize who He is and begin to honor Him, revere Him, and thank Him for who He is. All this happens when the proud, rebellious heart refuses to acknowledge and thank God for what He's done. To be truly thankful to God means that we have to believe in Him first. And then we accept Him as God and we humble ourselves before Him as we receive from Him. That's why some people cannot be thankful to God. In fact, some people have a hard time being thankful to anyone because when they show their appreciation, when they speak thankfulness, when they thank, they feel that in some way it lowers them, that they're admitting that they had a need, that now they have to owe someone because you did me a favor. Some people will not receive favors. Some people have a hard time receiving because they don't want to be thankful. This is not why everybody has a hard time receiving, but I'm saying some people have a hard time receiving because they don't want to be owing someone. They don't want to feel like, I have to thank them now. I owe them. They're, in a sense, they feel like, you're better than me now because you helped me. It's that pride that gets in the way. And see, there's people that feel the same way about God. They don't want to recognize God because to be thankful to God means I'm not my own man. I'm not my own person. Some people are, there's people out there, believe me, by the millions, they'll say, I don't need God. I don't need anybody. I'll take care of myself. And they're going to refuse to be thankful to anyone. And when they are, we see the pattern. The Word of God shows us. It shows us the pattern of what happens to the thinking of that person then. Their thinking becomes futile. And it doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean they have no knowledge. They can still be knowledgeable in the ways of the world. They can still do their job, but when it comes to the things that really matter in life, those things begin. They don't have the understanding because they've taken away the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, which is His Word, which is His truth, which we base everything on. An unthankful heart, a truly unthankful heart, will not be happy. In fact, it will never be satisfied. If there's no thankfulness, there's no satisfaction. Because there will never be enough. You know, we'll always be greedy for more. If we're not thankful, if we don't appreciate what we have, then we always want more. The more appreciative, the more thankful we are for what we do have, the less the greed shows up, the less the lust and, you know, the envy and the strife and all the things that make us want to go after what everybody else has. That's why we're told to be thankful in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. That sounds like a pretty tough thing to do. Giving thanks in all circumstances. But it is consistent with God's Word. And if we believe in His Word and if we trust in His Word, we know that all circumstances, if we're really believing in God's Word and following after Him, are going to work out for our best. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Why do we want to rejoice in our trials? Why do we want to consider a joy, a trial? Why should we give thanks when we're going through a tough time? Because we know that our Father is working out our salvation. He's working in us. He's building us. He's strengthening us. He's purifying us. He's causing us to grow and become more like His Son Jesus. That's why Romans 8:28 says that He's working out all these things for our good. For the good, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Even the tough things, even the hard things, especially those things. That's when we have to remember that, you know, even though I'm going through this, if I'm trusting in God and I'm looking for God to show me a way through this, I'm looking for God to teach me in this, in the midst of this, God is going to build something more in me and bring good things out of this. So if that's true, and we really trust in our Lord, how can we not be thankful even when it hurts at the time we're going through it? Here's an example. I remember one time back a few years ago, I got an infection in one of my teeth. I went to the dentist because I had a terrible toothache. When I went there, he did one of my favorite things. He stuck me with a needle. And then on top of that, he just filled me with joy when he was drilling in my teeth. And, you know, you could smell that burning, you know, smell, and like, oh, you know, you know. And I'm sure everybody here is jealous now. They, you know, you wish you could go there, right? Did I enjoy that? Absolutely not. But I trusted him because he's a good dentist. He also happens to be a friend of mine. And when it was all done, the problem was fixed and I was better. My toothache was gone, and I still have the tooth, and everything was fixed. And so, you know, we could see that I could count that, I could be joyful in the fact that I could go there and get that taken care of. I could count that as joy, even though it wasn't all that much fun. But this is just a man who made things better because of his knowledge. He took care of a problem by hurting me, by putting me through a tough situation, by going through that. Now here's God, who is all wisdom and loves us with an everlasting love, someone that we can trust completely, who would never in any way ever want to hurt us. And yes, He allows us to go through these difficult times sometimes because He knows He can fix us. And we may not like the smell, and we may not like the sounds, we may not like the feel. We may not like sitting in that chair. We may not like doing all of these things. But if we really trust in God, at least as much as I trusted in my dentist, we're going to come out on the other side better for it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can deal with those troubles. We can deal with them. We may not like them, but we have to stop and think, God, you know what? I know this is tough, but I choose to deal with this thing and thank you in the midst of it because I'm trusting that you're going to bring something good out of it. And when we begin to look at it that way, when we start to look for the good and we begin to really speak out our trust and our thankfulness to God, that problem doesn't seem so bad anymore. So God tells us to be thankful in all circumstances. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is in Chronicles chapter 20. The king at that time was Jehoshaphat, and God's people were under serious attack. They were being attacked by a bunch of nations, a bunch of kings. And it says in verse 21 in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. So here's all the troops are gathered. King Jehoshaphat says, you know what, get all the troops, get them all together, but in front of the troops, I want you to put out the worship team. I want you to put out the praisers. And the song that they sang was, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They're going into battle. They don't have swords. They got trumpets, drums, whatever. And they're singing. They're thanking. They're praising God. They're trusting God. Because their king told them to. And God was speaking through their king. And they began to sing their praise to God, their thanks. And the Lord, it says, set ambushes against the men of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. They were praising God and giving him thanks before the battle even began. They were already thanking God before the battle even began. They put themselves right out in the front of it. They didn't run away from it. They walked right into it. They dealt with it. And the Lord gave them a total victory. Complete, total victory without them ever even having to raise their swords. There's a lesson in there. Even when we're in the midst of problems and we bring them to God in prayer, we need to be thanking God already for what he will do in that battle, in that struggle, in that problem. God wants us to face our difficulties, enter into the battle, deal with our problems with a thankful heart, because that's going to strengthen us. And it's almost like we're inviting God. I'm already thanking him, and I start this, you know, as God's doing his thing, I'm thanking him. I'm acknowledging God. I'm already giving him access. I'm opening the door. He's knocking at the door. I'm opening the door. I'm already thanking him. When Paul and Silas, remember that story? They were thrown into prison in Acts 16. And they began to pray and sing hymns to God. They had a thankful heart. And God caused an earthquake to happen in that town. And it says that the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains just somehow happened to fall off. And as a result of that episode, the jailer and his whole family got saved. And in both of these situations, with Jehoshaphat and Paul and Silas, the circumstances looked bad. It looked like there was a possibility they may not make it out alive. At the very least, there was going to be a terrible struggle, possible danger to their physical, mental being, well-being. And yet in the midst of both of those things, they entered into that with an attitude of worship, a thankful heart, anticipating that God would be there, that God would help them, that God would deliver them. They didn't have to be nervous. They certainly could have been, but they weren't. They didn't have to be anxious. They just needed to go before God with a thankful heart. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." God wants us to come to Him with a thankful heart, knowing that He is a loving Father who wants to bless His children. That's just the kind of God He is. I mean, you want to bless your kids. You want to treat them well. You love to maybe give them a special treat sometimes. You think about their future. If you're trying to help them, you're trying to think of ways you can help them in their occupation or their schooling or whatever it might be. As parents, if we're, any kind of parents at all, we take some time and think about our kids. How can I help my kids? How can I train them? How can I teach them? How can I show them the right way? How can I provide for them? How can I help them? How can I defend them? How can I protect them? Well, I'm not the best father in the world. And I don't think any of us can claim that. But I know that my God is the best Father in the world, in the universe. And I know that His desire is to see me doing well. He wants to bless me, and He wants to bless you. Every single one of you. I'm not His favorite. You're His favorite, as well as I am. You know that? He favors every one of us. His favor goes upon each one of us. He loves us all. We're all His favorites. James 1:7 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from our Father. His blessings just flow continuously. I was thinking of the sun. How, the sun, even though it looks like it stops to us because it's on the other side of the earth or the earth is revolving, but really the rays from the sun, they just keep coming out. And Jesus talks about these streams of living water that just keep coming. And we read in the Bible about this river of life that just keeps coming. And the light of God that just shines forth. All these, implications, all these ways of seeing that God is he's never ending. He's yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He never stops. He's forever. And His blessings just keep coming out. His love just keeps getting poured out. You can't turn God's love on and off like a faucet. That's not how He is. He doesn't love you 1 minute and then turn it off. Okay, you did something wrong. Now I don't love you now. That's not how God is. Back and forth. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Pulling the leaves off a flower. That's not the way God is. His love, His goodness, His mercy, they just keep coming. They just keep coming. We just have to put ourselves in a position to receive all that. So we need to learn how to walk in His love and humble ourselves. And once we humble ourselves before God, we begin to look at Him and we begin to realize how much He's doing for us. And we begin to thank Him. And then it's sort of like we send back, or we should try to send back. This might start out like a trickle, but hopefully it will grow into like a river of thanksgiving, of praise and worship. And that's really the only proper response to all that God gives us. Because His love, His mercy, His all these different things, his goodness, his blessings keep coming. If we recognize his blessings keep coming into our life, if we realize how much it keeps coming, what other way is there to respond than to always be thankful? And so that's why God's telling us to be thankful at all times, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be thankful in all circumstances. There's another little story here. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, came back praising God. And in a loud voice, he was praising God. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Jesus said, 'Where's the other 9? You know, that means 90% did not give him thanks. 10%, 1 out of 10, gave him thanks. I wonder if there's even that much in the world now. 90% did not even bother to return. Took the blessing and ran with it. 1 out of 10. Came back. And that guy came back, and not only did he thank Jesus, but he threw himself at his feet. He wanted to grab hold of him and hug him. But he figured he wasn't worthy. He couldn't just hug him up here, so he goes down and hugs him at his feet. His thankfulness brought him closer to Jesus. Because he was thankful, he got to go and get hold of Jesus. So many times I hear people say, "I want to get closer to God. How do I do that?" Well, one of the ways is to develop a thankful heart. Begin to look at all that God has done for us, all that he's going to do for us, all that he's doing for us and will continue to do for us on a regular basis. And when you start looking at all that, we got reason to be thankful. And you know what? This isn't something that we're supposed to be thankful for just in secret either. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Those praises are thankfulness. And the word is telling us to declare those praises so that we bring glory to God. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 says, "But among you there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Ephesians 5:19, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." And this last one here says it 3 times in one scripture. See if you can find it. See if you can find Waldo in here. 3 times, thanksgiving. All right? Colossians 2, 15 through 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Man, and be thankful with gratitude, giving thanks to God the Father. Three times in one two-sentence scripture. So my question is, are we being thankful? Are we encouraging one another to be thankful? Are we passing an attitude of gratitude, as some might say, or an attitude of thankfulness to our children, to our friends, to the body? Or is it one of greed and complaining and I don't have enough? Are we being vocal about what God has done and is doing in our lives? Are we thankful for Him and for what He's doing? As we start to develop this spirit of thankfulness, our whole attitude, our whole outlook on life begins to change, and it changes for the better. Changes for the better. We begin to see the world through a different set of eyes. What was once lacking is now full. The half-empty glass is now half full and getting higher. Greed begins to change over to generosity. Discouragement begins to turn to joy. Instead of envying others, we're happy for them. We're glad that they're blessed. Instead of turmoil inside, there's peace. Because we're thankful. Our joy increases as we become thankful. God wants us to be thankful for who we are. Because He made us. And if you trust that God knows what He's doing, be thankful that He made you the way you are. That doesn't mean that we don't have some. We just got to root them out. And we can be thankful that when we get rid of them. We can be thankful even in the midst of dealing with them because God's going to help us get rid of them. We can be thankful because we can recognize them. I'm thankful that God made you who you are because each one of you, every single one of you in here, because of your special abilities, because of your special giftings, because of who you are, you make this body unique. There's no other church in the world that is like this church. There's no other group of people that is exactly like this group of people. And we got a great group here. And I'm thankful for that. God wants us to be thankful in all circumstances. With our home, wherever it might be. And with our family. With our church. Be thankful with our relationships. Thankful in our job. Thankful with our finances. Thankful with our spouse. Be thankful with our children. Be thankful for our parents. And here's a good one. Be thankful for your pastor. Be thankful for our talents. Thankful for the giftings, the things that God's put in us, our emotions, our feelings, the love that's in us. Be thankful for our friends. Be thankful for so many things. And then we start to get into things like being thankful for our salvation. Thankful for our inheritance in heaven. Thankful for Jesus. Thankful for the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could go on, and I could stand up here for days talking about things to be thankful for. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." There's something really important in that scripture. I'm going to read it again. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably." Thankfulness helps us to worship God the right way. Praise and worship that flows out of a thankful heart is a delight to God. If there's no thankfulness, honestly, I don't know how there can be any worship. Psalm 100, verse 4 tells us that we enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. That's how we get it started. That's why Maybe you've never known this. This is my theory. That's why we always start off worship with a praise song, with a high air energy type kind of song, because I want to bring people together with a joyful, thankful song, something, a song of praise and thanksgiving. That's how we enter his gates. And after we get into the praise, and then we get into the praise and thanksgiving, then we go towards worship. Thanksgiving is what ushers us into God's presence so we can worship him. After all that God has done for us, as his people, as his children, there really is only one appropriate response to God, and that is to live a life of thanksgiving. I could probably tell you right now just what are you thankful for, and we could stand here for 3 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours, 2 days, 4 days, 5 days, 10 days. You guys ready to... Did you bring lunch? But I would like to take just a moment. I want you to stop, and I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think about God right now. I want you to give him thanks. Give him thanks for three things right now in your life. Just take a moment to do that. I want you to do one more thing. I want you to turn to somebody that's next to you and just tell them that you really thank God for them. Well, see how that stirs up laughter and joy, just being thankful already? All right, let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. There's plenty to be thankful about, isn't there? Did anybody here have a really hard time finding three things to be thankful for? No. Yeah, hard time whittling it down to three, right? Yeah. I could have said 30, but I had figured half of us wouldn't be able to count that high, so. All right, if I get the prayer team on up here, we're going to close in prayer, and maybe we can take this message to heart and really try to think today as we leave, about being thankful. And it really, the more thankful you are, the better life you're going to have. It's true. It really is true. The more appreciative you are, it changes your attitude, and everything begins to seem better. There's always something to be thankful for. In the midst of every disaster, you can say, well, at least, there's this, there's that. I always try to look for the bright side of things, and I know that I can still way improve. We all can. So let's go before the Lord. Father, we do thank you. We thank you right now, Lord God, that you love us so much. We thank you that you always have loved us and always will love us. We thank you that you're walking with us through all of our trials. We know that we struggle, that we have problems, that we have difficult days, difficult issues that we deal with. And yet we can be thankful because you are with us. And you're going to work them all out to the good as we learn to trust in you. So God, we give you thanks today. We give you praise. We give thanks unto the Lord for his glory. His praise endures forever. His name endures forever. We thank you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for everyone here, Lord God, that each one of us would just have a wonderful, thankful day, a wonderful, thankful week, And Lord, I am thankful for each and every one that is here today and hears this message. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.